Well, go ahead and get your Bible out. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We are still in verse number 7. Can you imagine? We've already had three teachings in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7. This is our fourth time that we're going to be taking a look. And you know what? The Bible, it's not fast food. It's good food. It's meant to be savored. It's meant to be taken apart and looked at and examined and gone over and over again. That's why the Bible says to meditate on it. To go over it again and again and again and get as much as you can out of it. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 is packed with meaning and purpose and understanding. We've already learned not to be deceived. We talked about that, some common delusions. I identified some that I had been involved in before. And man, that was just a good word. And then last time we were together, we found out about the fear of the Lord. We said God is not mocked, and so if he's not mocked, then he's to be honored. And boy, we all got that fear of God in our hearts and that reverence and that respect for who God is. And so I believe that that was one of the great teachings. If you didn't get a hold of that, man, get a hold of that because it'll change your walk with God. Today we're going to be taking a look at one word in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Did you know that one little word from God can change your entire life? All it takes is one word from God and everything is turned upside down. How many of you remember the first time you realized that you were in Christ? One little word. Two letters. In Christ. All of a sudden you realized, wow, you know what? No longer am I in the world, but now I'm in Christ. No longer am I in the family of the devil, but I'm in the family of God. No longer am I in the way of death, but now I'm in the way of life. In Christ Jesus. Changes everything. Makes your world brand new. How many of you remember the first time you realized that salvation was by grace through faith? By. Two little letters once again. And it changes everything. Now, no longer is it by works. No longer is it by a system. No longer is it by ceremony or ritual. But now it's by grace. God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you couldn't do it. Wasn't by your own efforts. Wasn't by anybody else's efforts. But by grace, the working of God on your behalf. That you couldn't do on your own. By grace. Man, it changes your entire world. As we look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we're going to take a look at a word that's not a little word, it's actually a big word. But as we get an understanding of what this means, it's going to just throw open the door of possibility in your life and in my life. Let's check it out. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now, I highlighted the word we're going to take a look at today on the overheads for you. And that word is whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whatever. Say it with some attitude. Say whatever. 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 I mean, our culture and our society has taken this word and they've used it as a casual word. They've used it as a byword. They've used it as, you know, a response. How many of you had teenagers that ever said whatever? Right? We've looked at life and life has dealt us a bad hand and we said, whatever, que sera, sera. And we've had this apathy towards this word, but I don't find that in the Bible. This word is not a whatever word, but rather this word just explodes with possibilities. The potential that's packed inside of this word whatever is huge in our lives when we get a hold of what it is that God has for us. Literally, it can throw open the door because, you know, some words you study them out, and I was studying this word out in the Greek, and I was trying to find out what it really meant. Sometimes you study words in Greek or in Hebrew, and you find out they had very specific meanings. Study some of these words out, you find out, wow, that was an agricultural word, and it really means this. There's a very, very limited focus of understanding what this word really means, and that changes things. Wow, that's what that means. Study out in the Greek, wow, that's a nautical term, and that really means this, and then you apply that to your understanding, But I didn't find a narrow definition when I looked at this word, whatever. I found a huge definition. In fact, it shocked me. It blew me away. You guys want to know what I learned that this word means? A couple of you guys do. So I'll tell the three of you that responded. It's going to shock you too. Listen. This word, whatever, literally means whatever. Shocking, isn't it? It means whatever. Whatever. It just blows open wide the door and allows us to move into arenas of life that we never dreamt possible. It means whatever. As I was studying this word out, there was so much stuff. I had just lists of scriptures and understandings from the word, but I had to shave it down and narrow it down because we've only got 6 hours today to discuss this. Just kidding. But let's take a look. Let's have some fun in the word. Some whatevers of the Bible. I found a couple of whatevers that I wanted to share with you as we just get started in our understanding of the word whatever in the Bible. Talking about God, Psalm chapter 115, verse 3, it says, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." Can you imagine the possibilities of God doing whatever he wants? God is outside the realm of our thinking, of our understanding. His ways are higher than our ways. He can do more than we can do. He can go further than we can go. And so when God says he can do whatever he pleases, how many of you know that means whatever? Some of you guys are getting this. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it." Whatever. Do you know there's a lot of whatevers in the Bible? A lot of commandments that God tells us to do. And so he says, when you find those things out, whatever it is that I ask you to do, I want you to be careful to observe it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Whatever it is, you do it. That means when you come into the house of God and you find out what the commandments of God are, whatever it is, do it. Do it. God's not looking to smack you down or hit you with a 2x4 from heaven. God is looking to bless your life and encourage your life and strengthen you, move you forward, get you in a healthy position. So whatever it is he's calling you to do, it's for your good and for the good of the people around you. So be careful to do it. That's a whatever in the Bible. Another one I found, I like this one, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us?" Now, this was spoken to the children of Israel, and now we, Christians, by faith, are a part of the true Israel. We are Israel now. So what nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? He's on the inside of our hearts. But look at this. "For whatever reason, we may call upon him." Whatever reason. It blows open the door. It's just whatever reason. For any and every reason that you have, you can go to God and you can talk to him. We have been given access by grace in which we stand now to throw open the doors, march in, and talk to God and find grace to help in a time of need. Praise God. I'm preaching myself happy right now. I hope you guys are getting something out of this. But praise God, any reason. Sometimes we think that God is just in church, that he's not in our house. But you know what? Any reason in your house that you can go to God, whatever, you can take it to God. Some people think, well, God is not in the dentist chair. But let me tell you something. I have had some very spiritual moments in the dentist chair. Because whatever reason there is, you can bring it to God. At work, in the car, on the freeway. I got to tell you something. I have brought some whatevers to God on the freeway. Because the world can try and keep you down. The world can pull you back. But you know what? You can take your world to God and you can say, "God, here is my whatever." Whatever reason, you can take it to God. Now let's not just stop there, because Jesus had some things to say about whatever. Let's take a look today at the whatevers of Jesus. And when Jesus says a whatever, he doesn't just say it about God, but he's saying it about you. And he's saying it about me. Some whatevers of Jesus. We're going to take a look at four of them today. There's a ton of them in there, but I thought that these ones were exceptional, and the Spirit of God led me to bring these ones to you today, the whatevers of Jesus. First one today that we're going to take a look at is authority. Authority. Did you know that you have been given authority as a Christian here on the earth? You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor Dan?" This is what I'm talking about. Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." A lot of times we don't have a problem with Jesus having authority. But then he commissioned his disciples and he said, "Go ye therefore." Meaning, in this authority that I have, I want you to go forth and do something with it on the earth. And that's why he says, "You shall tread upon snakes and scorpions. You shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you." Now, that doesn't mean you go out and you find snakes and you pick them up and scorpions and then you go drink poison. No, that's not what this is talking about. But this is saying that should anything happen to you, that you have authority. The snakes and scorpions is the devil and demonic forces that are coming against you. Each and every day, there is a spiritual realm that is taking place all around us that we do not see. And we need to be wise enough to know what the wiles of the devil are against us. He's going to come in and try and trip us up. Put thoughts in your mind. Wreak havoc in your body. Bible identifies sickness. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The devil is doing stuff on the earth today, but you, as a Christian, have been given the authority of Jesus Christ to say, devil, I do not receive any sickness in my body. You must flee in the name of Jesus. You've been given authority. Then when he starts putting thoughts in your head, you start saying, you foul thing, you get out of my thought life. I do not receive thoughts in the name of Jesus. Devil, you are defeated and you must flee, and I do not allow those thoughts in Jesus' name. You have been given authority. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that Christ has been given head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are ambassadors of Christ. We go in his authority. We are the body of Christ on the earth, and we have the authority of God in whatever on the earth. You say, Pastor Dan, prove it to me. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. To find out what Jesus had to say about our authority here on the earth. Matthew chapter 16. And as with all the services previous, I don't hear too many pages rustling out there, so please bring your Bibles to church. Listen, if you can't get this in church, what makes you think when you go home and the devil starts playing ping pong with your brain that you're going to be able to go and find this scripture that Pastor Dan talked about if you sat brain dead in church and didn't do anything with the word? Matthew chapter 16. Start bringing your Bible to church. You need to get this. This is your life that we're talking about. This is the authority of God we're talking about. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to take a look at verse number 19. Jesus is speaking. There's red letters in my Bible. That means Jesus is speaking. And he says this. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you've ever bought a home, you know what happens when they hand you the keys. You sign the deed, you've made the agreement, there is a covenant, and now they hand you the keys. You're so excited when you get the keys. Why? Because now you get to move in. You get to occupy your house. But not only that, you can start making some changes. You can paint the walls any color you want. You can put whatever type of flooring you want in that house. You can rip plants out and put plants in. You can start doing something with that space. Why? Because it's now yours. You have been given the keys. You have been given the authority in that house. Also, you are able to unlock doors and open them up. In the same way, you can take those keys and you can take that door and shut it, and you can lock it and keep people out or keep people in. You have been given authority in that house, all by being handed a set of keys. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And take a look at what he says. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You lock it on earth, you take those keys and you lock something, it is locked up in heaven. And he says, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That means if you open the door here on earth, then the door is open in heaven. Now, I know a lot of times Christians, as well as non-Christians, will look at us and say, you're crazy. How dare you say something? You can't bind the devil away from... Oh, yes, I can. I got the keys to the kingdom. If the devil comes knocking at my door, I'm going to lock the door and say, devil, you're bound away from me in the name of Jesus. If there's something that's not taking place in my life, man, maybe you're frustrated about finances. Don't feel foolish by standing up and declaring the word of God over your finances and releasing your faith and losing finances into your account in Jesus' name. You can do that. Why? Because you got the keys. You have the authority to do that here on the earth. Don't just take whatever comes your way. Allow you to speak the authoritative whatevers of God into your life. Have your kids gone south? Start to speak over them. Whatever it is that you want for them, they will be raised up in the ways of God, that they shall not depart from it when they grow old. Grace shall be their peace. Hallelujah. They are blessed because they do not walk in the way of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it they shall meditate day and night. Come on, release your faith. Speak it. You got to get this. Use your authority on the earth. You know, a lot of people take authority like the Department of Agriculture representative who went down to the farm, knocked on the door, and the farmer opened the door and said, yes, can I help you? And he threw a badge up in his face. He said, I'm from the Department of Agriculture. I'm going to take a look around your farm, see what's going on. He said, sure, you know, you can go wherever you want. Just make sure that you don't go over there in that field that's got the gate around it. Department of Agriculture busted out the badge in his face again and said, listen, I am from the, do you see this badge? Department of Agriculture. I will go wherever I want. Farmer leaned back and said, fine, do whatever you want. Farmer goes about doing his chores, and a little while later, he hears some screams coming from that field that he told the guy not to go in. He looks over, and there's the Department of Agriculture representative just running full speed. And right behind him is the farmer's prize bull chasing him. Farmer leaned back on a fence post and said, show him your badge! Listen, there's a lot of Christians running from the devil. And we never bust out our authority and say, hey, you can't chase me around. You got to go. This is my authority. This is my word of God. This is my promise. This is my whatever. Devil, you must flee in the name of Jesus. Got to use your authority. Got to use your authority. First thing, we find the whatevers of Jesus, his authority. Second thing is prayer. Prayer. Turn with me to the book of John. Let's take a look at what Jesus had to say about prayer. Book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to take a look at verse 13 and 14. It says this. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Did you know that's a promise from God? That is a promise from the lips of Jesus straight to you today. You can take that promise and you can run with it. But the problem is a lot of times we're ashamed to ask God for whatever. We won't go to God with the little needs. We only go to God with the big needs. Sometimes we don't even go to him with the big needs because we think that they're too big for God. But listen, there is nothing too big for God and there is nothing too small for God. God is concerned with the big things in your life just as he is concerned about every little detail in your life. We think, oh, I can't pray about this hurt tooth. I can't pray about this. This is just a little toothache. God's not concerned about that. Oh, yes, he is. God wants to heal your body. God wants to take care of your needs. You might be going to work day in, day out, barely making ends meet, don't really have enough to store up and save, and maybe you need a new pair of shoes, new pair of dress shoes to go to work. And you say, well, God's not concerned with a pair of dress shoes. I'll just make do until I can save up enough and see what happens. And you casually say, whatever. Instead of taking that whatever to God and saying, God, you know what? I need a new pair of dress shoes. Lord, I don't have the money, so I pray, God, that somebody would bless me with them. And you know what? As you pray those whatever prayers, somebody is going to bless you. Somebody might come into your office the next day and say, hey, listen, I just bought this pair of shoes and I can't take them back to the store. They were on clearance. I got a really good deal on them, but they're too small for my feet and they hurt me. Do you want a pair of these dress shoes? Man, you're going to be dancing a Holy Ghost jig on your desk when somebody brings some shoes to you. Why? Because look at the verse again. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you get those answers to your whatever prayers, are you going to be saying, oh, I knew I could do it? No, you're going to be saying, God did that. God cared about my needs. God wanted to provide. God did this. I'm going to go shout it from the rooftops. Because God cares about you and I, and God cares about every little detail, and God cares about every big detail. Nothing's too big for God. What is there that God cannot do? He does whatever he pleases. But God pleases to give good gifts to his children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Listen, when your heart and your life honors God, and you serve the Lord wholeheartedly, that's pleasing to God. And God wants to give good gifts to his children. But if you never ask, how is God going to move on your behalf? One man of God said that God does nothing on earth except an answer to prayer. I like what Billy Graham had to say. Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. Can you imagine if you got to go to heaven on a tour? You got on this tour bus. The angels showing you around. showing you the crystal sea in front of the throne and the rainbow around it and the 24 elders. There they are. There's their thrones. Takes you by all the mansions that Jesus has prepared for you. And then he takes you to this large storehouse. Racks and racks and racks filled with boxes and boxes and boxes all the way down. And you saw one of the boxes on the ground and it was open and it had one box that was taken out of that big box and there was a ton of other little boxes on the inside of them. Did some quick calculations in your head and you said, wow, there are literally billions of boxes in this storehouse. And you said to the angel, hey, you know what? What is this place? What is this storehouse? And what are all these boxes? And he said, well, each one of the big boxes contains these little boxes. And each one of these little boxes has answers to prayer in them that no one has ever bothered to ask for. Wow. You know what? I made it my mission. I made it my goal to ask bigger from God. I'm asking for the world. I mean, I'm asking for everything. I'm asking for anything. I am asking for whatever. Because God told us to ask for whatever. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. Let's give God glory when we receive the prayers that we've asked from whatever. Are you guys getting this today? Praise God. First thing is authority. Second thing is prayer. Third thing that I find that Jesus spoke about, the whatevers of Jesus, is that he talked about faith. Faith. Did you know that God wants you to have a whatever faith? God wants your faith to be broad and wide and open. You say, Pastor Dan, I thought he wanted it to be small and little like that mustard seed. Listen, he's not talking about having a narrow faith like a mustard seed. He's saying if all you got is faith as a mustard seed, if that's the small faith that you have, that's enough to talk to a mountain and have it uproot and be cast into the sea. If all you got is that little mustard seed, that is enough to speak to the mulberry tree, have it be uprooted and planted in the sea. But God doesn't want us to have a small, narrow-minded faith. God wants us to have a big, open, wide, expansive, whatever faith. Some of you guys are staring at me like a cow looking at a new barn. So I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 11. I'm getting quiet in here. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to take a look at this in some new light today. I'm going to show you the whatever faith that God wants us to have. Mark chapter 11. Very familiar verse when it comes to faith. But look at what God is saying to you and to me today. Mark 11 verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. And he puts a qualifying statement on there. Assuredly I say to you, whoever, stop right there. How many whoevers do we got in the room today? Yeah, every hand should go up. We are all a whoever. That's you and that's me. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You say, well, Pastor Dan, that's talking about the mountain. Well, let's take a look at the next verse. Verse 24. Therefore, because of what I just said, he says, I say to you, whatever things. Now, what does whatever things mean? Okay, this section right here got it. What does whatever things mean? Whatever. Oh, come on, say it one more time. Everybody with me. What does whatever things mean? Whatever. Whatever. It's open. The door is open. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, it may not be overnight. It may take some time. But you believe in faith. You stand in faith. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. And you thank God for it. And you stay in faith for it. And you watch it come to pass in your life. I like what Smith Wigglesworth, he was a man of God in England, said. He said, I can get more out of God by believing him for 1 minute than I can by shouting at him all night. Listen, mustard seed faith. If you got some faith, believe God. If you're not believing God for something right now, find something to believe God for. Maybe it's a need in your own life, or maybe it's a need in someone else's life. But find something to believe God for. The problem is that we haven't had this whatever faith. We've limited faith to certain areas in our lives. But God wants you to believe him for your family. God wants you to believe him for your finances. God wants you to believe him for salvations around you and in your sphere of influence, in your world. God wants you to believe him for increase in your finances. God wants you to believe him for healthy church growth. You have a part to play in this church. God wants you to believe him in every area of your life. He wants you to have a whatever faith. God wants you to believe him for the victories in your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith has overcome the world. When you believe in Jesus, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You want victory in your life? Have you been getting beat up? It's time to start believing God for the whatevers. Have you been depressed and discouraged? Start believing God for that whatever. Have you seen lack and need in your life? Start believing God for the whatever. But start somewhere. Get in faith for the whatevers in your life. Are you listening? Praise God. First thing that we saw was authority. Second thing is prayer. Third thing, faith. You guys got time for one more? Yeah. Praise God. Here we go. Good works. Fourth whatever of Jesus is good works. You know, this church is a good works church. We do a lot of good works. And it started with whatever we could do. Started with just beans and rice and people knocking on doors, praying with people, and it blossomed, it grew. Man, it turned into a massive warehouse that we have down on this side of the property at the end there, feeding 750,000 people every year. Can you imagine? That's a ton of people. But listen, that's whatever. It's whatever God wants to do. It pleased God to feed people through this church. When we started looking for whatever else we could do, started handing out backpacks year after year. This year, in 120-degree heat, our volunteers and our staff went out there, and we gave like 1,100 backpacks away. Here on this church, I mean, 120-degree heat. People were fanning themselves. People were dumping water bottles over their head. But you know what? We displayed the goodness of God in whatever. We said, "God, we want to have this. We want to give away backpacks. We want to help inner-city kids. Whatever. Here we go, God." And we did some good works. We had some backpacks left over, though. And there were some people that go to this church that were linked up in the school district. And we said, "Hey, we want to bless some kids. Do you think that you guys could take some backpacks?" And so they started taking them into the school districts, took backpacks. That was amazing because the one whatever turned into another whatever. Started here on campus, and then it moved into the school districts. But it didn't stop there. God wanted to go further. God wanted to go into some other whatever. And through a connection with our senior pastors, there was a relative that was in the military. And he wanted to start giving away school supplies to kids in Afghanistan because he knew that they were in need. And he started talking, and Pastor Deborah was talking to him, and he says, I'd like to help these people out. I'd like to do a whatever. She said, "Well, we got backpacks. Can you take them?" And he said, "Yeah, I can take them." And we sent from this church backpacks and school supplies into Afghanistan. Can you imagine? That's whatever. That's a whatever good work that we did together. It's an amazing thing. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is just finishing up talking about the goodness of God and how when we ask God, we get good gifts from him because he loves us. And it's his good pleasure to pour out gifts on his children. The whatever ask, whatever prayers, whatever faith, whatever authority. Jesus just got done talking about that. And then he sums it up in verse number 12. It's amazing how Jesus can just sum up the Old Testament in just one little verse. Incredible. Watch what he does. Look at this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." He said, this is the whole Old Testament, everything that's led up to this point right now. Whatever you want men to do to you, do to them. So ask yourself this question. What do I want men to do to me? Do you want people to be good to you? Be good to them. Do you want people to be kind to you? Be kind to them. Do you want people to give you money? Give money to them. Did I just say that? I did. Why? Because what you sow, you shall also reap. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever you want men to do to you, do to them. That's why God says the generous soul will himself be watered. That's a promise in the Bible that you and I can take a hold of. John Wesley said, "Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you ever can." Can you imagine a church that started doing whatever good to each other? Started loving people, started encouraging people, finding out what the needs were and started taking care of the needs. Man, you couldn't keep people out of this place. Why? Because we love one another and we encourage one another. We lift each other up. And we start doing whatever good. There's traffic jams out in the parking lot because everybody's going, no, you first, no, you first, no, you first, no, you first. You say, Pastor Dan, there's already traffic jams. Don't make it worse, all right? Listen, whatever. Because God wants us to do whatever good that comes into your heart to bless people, to encourage people, to love people and lift them up. I remember a story of a man who lived in Chicago during the time that D.L. Moody was pastoring. And he was crossing Chicago in the snow just to get to Moody's church. And Moody caught him and asked him, he said, "What? There's churches on the other side of town. Why don't you go to those churches? You don't have to walk in the snow." He says, "But they love a guy over here." Listen, when you and I love one another, it is infectious. And we start to love people, we start to encourage people. And the community and the world that you live in is going to sit up and take notice. Why? Because whatever good you want men to do to you, do to them. And what you sow, you will reap. You guys got time for one more verse? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You know, when you have that whatever word or deed, and you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, it does two things for you. Number one, it keeps you from sin, because you cannot sin in the name of the Lord Jesus. It will keep you from sin. But the second thing it does is that it encourages people and blesses people, and it comes back to you. Because whatever you want done to you, you do to men. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. As you go out there and you do your good works, do it with the right heart and the right motivation, that this whatever is for my God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let's read it again. And the verse just explodes with possibility. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now listen to this. It's not about whatever you know, but it's about whatever you sow. We're going to get into that next week. Come on, if you guys got something from the word of the Lord today, give him a praise. Hallelujah. So good.